Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU's Women's Initiative. Today we are studying Shoftim, Perek Dalad. And we begin the Perek with the death of Ehud. Because as long as Ehud was alive, his merits kept Bnei Yisrael afloat. But now that he died, Bnei Yisrael continued to do bad in the eyes of Hashem. And it's interesting to note that the Perek begins with the death of Ehud, even though in the previous Perek, the final show fate was Shamgar, because already in the time of Shamgar, Bnei Yisrael had begun their decline, and therefore it was not a tshuva gedola. Even though Shamgar saved them, it was not a complete salvation. And so it starts with the death of Ehud, which really was the beginning of Bnei Yisrael's decline. And so therefore, because they leave Hashem, he hands them over into the hands of an enemy. And who is the enemy this time? The enemy is Yavin Melech Knan, who ruled in Chatzor, and his general is Sisra, who lived in Haroshet Hagoyim. So now we are subjugated by Canaan, and if you look in Sefer Yoshua, you'll find that actually Yoshua defeated Canaan and Yavin. In fact, he burned Chatzor to the ground. What happens? A few survived, and then they regrouped again in Haroshet Hagoyim, and they recreated their empire, and now they have come to oppress Bnei Yisrael. According to the Malbim, first Hashem allowed the outside nations to oppress Bnei Yisrael, but now, as things get worse, Canaan, which is actually one of the nations that live in Eretz Yisrael, is going to be the one that is going to oppress Bnei Yisrael. And according to the Malbim, they are oppressing Bnei Yisrael as revenge for Bnei Yisrael destroying their city. And with this, we continue the cycle. Bnei Yisrael go and they cry out to Hashem as they're petrified. Canaan has 900 chariots. And not only that, they have mocked and tormented Bnei Yisrael over a period of 20 years. So Hashem sends Devorah, an Isha Nevi'a. So we see that in addition to Devorah being a shofetes, a judge, she is also a prophet. She is a Nevi'a. And she is described by the Pasuk as an Eshes Lapidos. So some say that Lapidot is actually another name for her husband, who was Barak, as the word Barak means lightning, and Lapid is a torch, a flame, and they are very similar. So therefore, she is the wife of Barak. Other Mefarshim say that her husband was actually an Am Ha'aretz, he was an ignoramus, and therefore she would prepare the wick, she would prepare the lapidim for him to bring to the mikdash to give him some sort of merit. And a third group say that this actually is describing Devorah herself, not her husband, because she was a woman with a torch burning inside of her, which caused her to act swiftly. And the pasuk tells us, "V'hi yosheves tachas tomer Devorah." She would sit under the date palm of Devorah. And Rashi tells us that she actually owned palm trees and she lived near Yericho. And according to the Targum, she was actually a wealthy woman. She owned palm trees, she owned vineyards, she owned olive trees. So in addition to her being a Nevi'a and a Shofetes, she was actually a successful businesswoman. And her wealth is an important description because it allows her to be free of external influences when she judges. According to the Alshech, she sat specifically under a palm tree, so she would not have any issues with Yichud being secluded with men who she judged. And what happens? Devorah calls Barak ben Avinoam and she shares with him her nevuah. She says, "This is what Hashem said. Hashem says, go and recruit soldiers, 10,000 men from Zevulun and from Naphtali. And Hashem will draw Sisera and his army out into Nahal Kishon, and he will give them over into your hands." And according to the Radak, Sisera's astrologers actually told him not to go out, that good things would not happen to him. But Hashem says, "No, I'm going to get him to come out." And Barak turns to Devorah and he says, "If you don't come, I will not go." And according to the Malbim, even though Barak accepted Devorah's prophecy, he knew that it was true. He felt that without Devorah, the people would not accept him, and that his own merit was not deserving enough of such a miracle. And therefore, he needed Devorah there. He needed her to galvanize the people. He needed her there because her merits would help bring about their salvation. And Devorah responds, "Okay, I'm going to go with you. But you should know that the glory is not going to be yours because Hashem is going to deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." And the Matutas David explains that a general can really acquire glory in one of two ways. Either he can get glory by demonstrating his great courage and going to battle. It's a tough situation, but he's courageous and he's going to go out and fight the war. Or he can gain glory by killing the leader of the enemy. But since Barak was afraid to go alone, and a woman is going to end up killing the enemy, he is not going to receive any honor or any glory for this battle. And this statement of Devorah is actually prophetic that Sisera is going to be killed in the hands of a woman. And Barak goes and he gathers the people of Zebulun and of Naphtali, and Devorah goes along with him. And the Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Yud, Vaya'al biraglav, he goes up on his feet, with his legs, because according to the Malbim, he didn't even have a chariot or a horse to go up, and here he's going up against Sisera, who has 900 chariots. Again, this is coming to show us how miraculous this battle actually is. And then the next pasuk continues and tells us that Hever Hakeni, the son of Yisro, he separates from his brothers, and he goes and he pitches his tent near Alon Batsanim, which was near where the war is. And it's interesting, the Rabbag notes that while, yes, these people, the Bnei Keni, they kept some Jewish rituals, at the same time, they had a peace treaty with Sisera. And this pasuk is really setting the backdrop of what is going to occur later in the perek. And what happens? They tell Sisera that Barak ben Avinoam, he's going up to the mountain. And so obviously Sisera understands that Barak wants to fight. And so Sisera gathers all of his 900 chariots and the people that were with him, and they go up to fight. And you have to understand how massive this was. When Paro chased Bnei Yisrael as they were leaving Mitzrayim, he chased them with 600 chariots. Here, Sisera has 900 chariots. And Devorah tells Barak that today is the day. Today is the day that Hashem is going to save you. And so Barak goes down from Har Tavor to the valley where Sisera is. And Pasuk Tevav tells us that Hashem confuses Sisera and his army. And the Abarbanel explains that even before Barak approaches, Hashem puts fear and confusion into Sisera and his men. According to the Malbim, Hashem caused Sisera to hear things. He caused him to hear sounds of horses and chariots, when we know that Barak and his people did not have any horses and they did not have any chariots. And either way, Sisera is afraid, and so he gets down from his chariot and he starts to run. And Barak runs after the army and the chariots, and as they retreat back to Harosheth Hagoyim, they kill all of them. But Sisera runs on foot away, and he runs to the house of Ya'el, the wife of Hever Hakeni, because there's a peace treaty between Yavin Melech Nan and the family of Hever Hakeni. And we see that Sisera does not run with everybody else, with the rest of the army, because he knows that they will be chased, and so therefore he runs off in another direction, and he runs off to find an ally. And Ya'el comes out, and she invites Sisera in, and the pasuk tells us that she covers him, and Sisera asks her for water, and she gives him milk. According to Rashi, she gives him milk because milk makes him sleep, will make a person sleepy. But according to the Targum Yonasan, she wants to see how aware and how alert Sisera is. Meaning, does he realize that he asked for water and she is giving him milk in return? Is he that alert that he can even notice that there is a difference? And so he asks her to stand by the entrance of the tents and to tell anybody who passes, if a man comes by, is there anyone here? She should say, no, no one's here. But it seems strange, because if someone's looking for Sisera, are they not going to go inside to look? Just because Ya'el says, no, he is not here, no one will go inside the tent and look. And the Malbim explains that actually in those days, it was inappropriate to enter a woman's tent if there were no other men there. So if there was no man there, then clearly Sisera would not be there and they would move on. And so Sisera is sleeping, and Ya'el takes the tent pin and the hammer, and she hammers it into his forehead, and it literally goes straight through his head, and he dies. Now, I think we need to ask ourselves, well, we just said that there was this peace treaty between the family of Keni and Yavin. So then, therefore, how is Ya'el able to do this? So the Malbim gives two different answers. He says either we saw in the previous pasuk that Hever HaKeni, he separated from his brothers, thereby showing us that he is no longer with them, meaning he is no longer bound by their treaty. Or when they signed a treaty was actually only for the men. Women didn't go to war in those days. It was actually to make sure that the men behaved. So therefore, Ya'el was not included in this treaty. And Pasuk Chaf Beis continues, Barak chases and pursues Sisera, and Ya'el goes out to meet him, and she says, come, I'm going to show you the man that you're looking for. And Barak enters her tent, and he sees that Sisera is dead, and the pin is in his head. And then the parak ends, that Hashem subdued Yavin Melech Canaan. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.